Everyone knows therapy is great for solving problems, but getting therapy has its own problems too, like finding the right therapist, fitting into their schedule, and of course, the cost. Well, BetterHelp can solve those problems. It's totally online and built around your schedule. It's surprisingly affordable too. Connect with a credentialed therapist by phone, video, or online chat, all from the comfort of your home. Visit betterhelp.com to learn more and save 10% on your first month. That's BetterHelp, H-E-L-P.
Online, on your mobile, and on FM.
From the home of time.
This is Maritime Radio, Greenwich.
Charles and Light. Charles and
what's happening now?
Edge of the penalty area, in the corner, goes back to Baldock. Baldock crossing opportunity, gets it across. Chris Solly comes out ahead of it, but it's dropped all the way through to Barnes. Barnes tries to fashion it on his right foot, takes a shot, takes a deflection. Rudd saves it, but O'Keefe is on hand to bury it. And Rudd could do nothing about that, and MK Dons have a lead inside the 7th minute.
Ups and to his left finds Barnes. Barnes in the penalty area. Barnes will go for goal, and it's a great finish. MK Dons have their second. A lovely, lovely goal from Harvey Barnes. He was able to drive forward towards Charles penalty area, cutting onto his right foot, and found the far corner.
Take a while to have a think about it.
How have we got into that? How is this club, who's supposed to have, you know, one of the best budgets in the league, enable themselves to get to the relegation battle?
Oh, God. Good evening and welcome to Charlton Live here on Maritime Radio. My name is Louis Mendez. This is the big match preview. We're going to look back at Tuesday's game with MK Dons and look ahead to Saturday's game with Southend on tonight's Channel Live. Joining me to do that in the studio, Mr. Tom Wongan. How you doing, Tom?
Brilliant. Yeah.
Yeah,
loving life.
Yeah, excellent stuff. And joining the pair of us here in his suit once again, so he's ready to crunch some sort of numbers, is Nathan Mother. How you doing, Nath?
Living the dream, mate. Well, yeah. We're not Tuesday, but yeah.
Yeah, yeah. What numbers are you planning on crunching tonight?
I don't know, Candy Crush or something, I don't know.
Right, excellent. So, on tonight's show, like I said, we're going to look back at that defeat against MK Dons, and we're going to go through your tweets and your emails. If you want to have your say on that game, I'm sure plenty of you do, a few of you already have. You can email us, studio@charltonlive.co.uk, or you can tweet us at Charlton Live. We'll touch on the other events on Tuesday night, because obviously they were very special. Look ahead to Saturday's Upbeats Walk. We've got the Player of the Year details to look ahead to. And then, of course, we're going to look ahead to Saturday's game with Southend here at the Valley as we battle to stay up in League One, which is lovely. Tom, what did you make of the game on Tuesday?
It was appalling. Like, absolutely appalling. I thought the players, I used the word on the night, I said they were gutless, they just didn't seem to care, and it was a sort of performance where if we were where MK Dons are, which, like, banging mid-table, you obviously still wouldn't be happy with it, but at least you go, do you know what, at least they're not playing for anything. But I don't seem to realise we're in a relegation battle, and they've just, I saw no urgency, we were second to everything, there was no movement after passing the ball, it was so static, and I thought maybe De Silva grew into the game, but apart from that, I don't think really anyone came out of that game with any credit at all.
Mm. Nate, when that full-time whistle went, you were already halfway home, weren't you?
Yeah, I was at the train station. Yeah, I'm trying not to swear. No, but it was really bad. It was so, so bad. But, I'm starting to think if the... Like, I probably was a little bit. Maybe the players are. Maybe they're starting to be a bit too arrogant to think that we can't actually go down, or they think that it's impossible that they can, because we can, very much so. Because that's the only, I just can't put my finger on. I said off there, I can't put my finger on why we're so inconsistent. Because if you look at the game, like we said, like the Sheffield United, the first 20 minutes away, the Bradford game, the Scunthorpe game, to have that it's chalk and cheese, and I don't understand why some games will look so fluid and sometimes we don't. It's baffling.
I mean, we'll come on to the very poignant memorial for PC Palmer in the end, but it went from that where the club showed itself at its very best, and as soon as that game kicked off, the atmosphere was good for a minute or so, but the fans react to what they saw from the players, and it was such a sloppy start, and we were a goal down early on. I mean, Rudd had to deal with a deflection, so it makes it difficult for him, but it's the MK Dons player who's going to be first to the rebound in that situation, and just got off to the worst possible start, and it felt like a hangover really from that last 20 minutes where we were so poor against Peterborough on Saturday.
Yeah, it felt no different to that. As you say, it was like the same game just carrying on, and as you say, they were just so sloppy, and yeah, Rudd had to deal with a deflection, but the defence in the first place gave him no help. It was so easy for MK Dons to get through, and the shot then took that bobble, but Rudd sort of just palmed it. I'm not a goalkeeper, I've got no experience of goalkeeping, but I'm sure they're taught to palm it away from the middle of the goal. He just palmed it straight back into the middle, and as you say, no defender made any sort of run to try and clear it, and there was their player on the edge of the six-yard box, just poke it in, and 7 minutes in, as you say, with all that build-up, with that big emotion before the game, 7 minutes in, that just knocks out, you know, if that does give any player motivation to put that little bit extra in, which I don't know whether it does or not, but if that did, that early goal just wipes all of that out, and fans start to turn on the players' backs, understandably, and as you say, they just never picked up from then, those players.
I mean, the way we reacted to that goal was always going to be so important, and I mean, I tweeted after 16 minutes, so sort of 10 minutes after the goal had gone in, when just nothing was happening. I tweeted saying, we are sleepwalking into this relegation battle, and that is the worst attitude and the worst sort of performance to be putting in. When it's coming down to the business end of the season now.
Mm. That's what I mean. I've tweeted after a game. It said, BBC said we had 3 shots on target. I can't remember a shot, let alone, I remember a header that went over the bar from Josh, I think it was. But I can't remember doing anything. I can't remember us creating anything for me to go, oh. What we used to do is, yeah, we'd get down the byline, cross the ball in, which, like Tom said, Jay De Silva grew into the game. He looked a bit nervy. He's done brilliant a couple of times, and there's like hardly anyone in there. It's the same every week. Mm. And it's just so frustrating because we're so predictable to play against. It's unreal. I've said this for about 2 years. We are so predictable. But those two games, that was Scunny and that Sheffield United first 20 minutes, if anyone weren't there, literally, we absolutely battered them.
Yeah.
Like, literally battered them.
Could have been like 3-0 up.
Yeah. And you go from that to this.
Yeah.
Just that there's no in-between with us. You're either really good or we're really bad.
The games we play like we played on Tuesday night, it feels like we're playing against like twice as many players. There's just so much space for all of them. And when we get the ball, it suddenly feels like there's nowhere to go because no one makes any movement. I said it on Tuesday night. We make football look so difficult. Like, we don't not. I said it about defending because we do make defending look hard. But the whole game, we make it look so difficult, and all MK Dons were doing, when one player got the ball, other people move, and as soon as they then pass the ball, they move themselves and offer themselves as options, and we just don't do that.
It's ironic, because I remember in the first half of the FA Cup game against MK here, which was Carl's first game in charge, and we were being outplayed and outpassed, and I remember asking him after the game, did you almost feel like, ironically, you were being outplayed and outpassed by your own team, that's the way you wanted them to play football, that's the way they've been brought up the last couple of years, playing that sort of game? And again, it happened, but the problem is, you know, Carl is with us now, and he hasn't got that mentality, that type of passing football into our team for more than those 20-minute spells.
Yeah, and he probably, you know, he did instil, you know, a passing team at MK, but, you know, let's not think that he built a team that was, you know, battering teams left, right and centre, and like the most amazing team in the league. But yeah, he maybe he's trying to instil that here, but I'm still in the believer, yeah, I'd love to see that, but at the moment, with the squad that we've got, you've just got to play to your strengths, and, you know, if you've got to do a bit of passing with a bit more direct play, then fine. But we just go just the other way. We just always lump the ball up to McGuinness with his back to goal and expect him to hold on to it every single time and let's lay it back to someone, and then what?
Mm.
And then you've got McGuinness out on the flank who's controlling a ball from a long ball, and then who have you got in the middle inside? You've got Tony White who floats. There's just no pattern of play, and it's just, I don't know, it will take time, but it's starting to get on my nerves.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Just a little bit anyway.
Yeah, the only good thing that was sort of happening for us really in the first half was seeing the goals flying in at Shrewsbury and at Port Vale, because they were both going goals down. I think we saw Holmes had an effort from sort of at the edge of the box where he brought it down and dragged it wide, and then McGuinness was one of the shots on target from about 30 yards, which is fairly easy for the goalkeeper. But you get to that half time whistle and you're looking for, I mean, Port Vale, MK Dons had a massive chance just before where the ball fell to O'Keefe about 6 yards out and it was blocked, and then the rebound was put over. It could have easily gone in two down, but you get to that half time and it was just such an insipid first half. And I mean, what can be said in that dressing room, because it didn't come out any better at the start of the second, did it?
No, I don't know what was said, but they need to realise that they're in a relegation fight now, and as I say, it just seems like they don't. The blame's got to be shared obviously, because there's more than one factor as to why we're so bad, but Carl's not motivating these players clearly to perform enough and consistently, like Nave says, and those players themselves just seem to have no pride in their own game. They're just not, that no one's taking responsibility, and that's what I said on Sunday as well. No one's prepared. They just look too nervy, they look too fragile, no one's got any ideas, they're all just kind of standing around, and it's the same old pattern. Like Nafe says, he gets tired of it. You know, when Rudd plays it out to one of the defenders, you know exactly what's going to happen. They pass it around between them for a bit, one of the midfielders drops deep but hasn't got the confidence to then turn on the ball and go forward and look for options, because there aren't any. So he goes back to the defenders, they go back to Rudd, Rudd hits it long. And as Nafe says, then McGuinness is isolated. And that happens 10, 15 times a game every single week when we're playing this way. And on the other weeks when we're playing well, you know, those midfielders are linking up and they're all passing and then we're good. But that doesn't happen enough at the moment.
What I can't put my finger on is why. I think you sort of, we alluded to it earlier, but why can we go from that performance at Sheffield United to that performance at Peterborough, where it starts off with you know, excellent play at Sheffield United, where we are, as you say, moving the ball around and linking in the midfield and the front three when we're playing the diamond of you know, Sheffield United, it was Watt, Novak and Holmes, looks so dangerous. What is it that's changed from then to here? Because I don't know.
No, nor can I. I wish I'd be a millionaire if I knew why. But this with the diamond, because we said off air, it's the diamond, like on Tuesday, we just bypassed it and just hoofed it along, which is the most ridiculous thing to do when you've set your formation out to go through narrow and exploit those middle four. But we done the same at Sheffield United, like you said, Lou, and we played them off the park. We done it to an extent against Scunthorpe, and we done well. So I was going to blame the home. Maybe they don't play like playing at home. But Scunthorpe, we played well at home. Bradford, we played well at home. I don't, and that's what I'm trying to search. I'm clutching to try and find the solution of why it's not working, and I can't. I just can't, because it's the personnel hasn't really changed that much for those three games that I mentioned. So what is it? I don't know. Are they nervous? Are they, you know, are they? Well, they obviously bang out of forms, we're right near the bottom, but we've been there all season. But I just don't know. I'm run out of answers, and I'm starting to lose. I'm quite positive usually, but I'm starting to fear the worst. I'm all right.
I was going to say, do you need a hug?
Yeah. We need to start giving out the Samaritans number. The second goal when it came was a good finish by Harvey Barnes, but once again we're seeing a player getting into the Charlton penalty area, you know, fairly unchallenged.
Yeah, and it come from a Charlton attack as well. And as soon as we lost the ball up the cover, then you could just see it, and they broke so quickly, and there was just not, as you say, nobody putting tackles in, and they just broke and broke, and he got it on the edge of the area, and you just knew that goal was coming. And it just went in, and that was it. People were leaving around me as soon as that went in, because you just knew that we weren't going to get back into it. And what frustrated me after that as well was, obviously there was a lot of reaction from the supporters when that second goal went in, but then the players finally decide to start running around and putting some effort in, but they're just tearing around, just jumping into challenges. They're not putting any thought into it. It's like, where's that energy? But if that's the amount of energy you've got at that stage in the game, why weren't you putting it in more purpose throughout the game? Why are you waiting until you're 2-0 down and the crowd are really annoyed at you, and then you're sprinting around, jumping into challenges, giving away stupid fouls?
Even though we are slating team, I would say like Holmes is the only one who presses.
Yeah,
but
yeah,
if you press as an individual, it's totally irrelevant, because as soon as you press that on your own, you've got space behind you.
Yeah.
But he's the same every week. He's the only person,
and he's so frustrated when it happens as well.
Because he's that good, and he puts that much shift in.
Yeah.
He must look behind and go, You lot are, well, you see lazy.
It. You see, you know, it and it's on his face. He gets so frustrated. And yeah. You watch, like, MK Dons were good at it on Tuesday night, but they didn't really have to be. But like Nave says, they press as a team. So when our back four get it, two or three of them come up together.
That's what we've done against Scunthorpe, didn't we?
And that's why when the ball goes into Forster Caskey at the base of that diamond, or Jacko as it was in the first half, straight away he's got someone on him as well, so he's forced to go back. And that's how you press. And when you do that, you force the goalkeeper to go long. But for some reason up the other end, we don't do that. And I think partly maybe because McGuinness and Watt at the moment are unfit. But it's just not good enough. It was such a bad performance.
We did have a chance, ironically, not long after they got their second to get back into it, where that cross went over to the far post and Tony Watt was sort of unmarked, but it doesn't direct his header towards goal, heads it wide, and you know that sort of just summed it up, really. Even when we did get a chance, we weren't awake to it, we weren't confident with it attacking the ball, we just get it off target, and that sort of summed it up for me.
Ruthlessness, isn't it? That's the buzzword, wasn't it? Ruthlessness.
Yeah, it's been the buzzword for the whole season, even under Russell.
Seems like it's been like for the last 3 years. But there's only so many times you can come out and just sit saying the same recycled stuff, which he does tend to do. But at the end of the day, if you're getting chances and we're not taking them, it's just our problem. It's like we always said, like earlier in the year, you know, our defence weren't that bad, but when Slade was here, but our scoring is woeful, and now it seems to. Defence has got worse, and our scoring has stayed constant. So there's an improvement. It's still rubbish at scoring, but I think it's a watch your space. I suppose. I don't think anyone has a idea what's happening now.
Yeah, I mean, I wonder how much of a wake up call. I mean, surely Saturday should have been a wake up call as well. But how much of a wake up call this result will be? And in fact, it could have been worse because we saw Agard hit the post, and there was enough. Agard had the shot. Well, someone had a shot where it deflected and Rudd recovered to it. And then I think it was from the corner, the ball came back in and Agard was able to bring the ball down inside the 6-yard box. He was able to chest it, bring it down, have time to fire an effort against the post. I mean, if that finished 3 or 4-0, then that would have sent a real message to the other teams in our mini league now that we're currently top of. it would have told them that Charlton are floundering.
Yeah, but the truth of it is, even with that 2-0, we are. And if clubs are getting the DVD of that game to watch us, there's nothing to fear. They're just going to look at how, like Nave says, how predictable we are, how basic our tactics are, and the fact that we just offer nothing, how sloppy the goals that we give away are. All that other teams need to say, and I've said this for a few weeks now, is you just got to press us. Press us into mistakes at the back four, because none of them have got enough confidence to do it. Pierce, I think maybe just coming back up that first game, we said before the show he just looked a bit too eager, but he's arguably our best central defender. Maybe Konza and Teixeira are okay as well, but there's just no confidence there. They're all so fragile, and if you press them, you're going to press them into mistakes. Rudd, the last few games, supposed to be the best keeper in this league, apparently, but even he's looking like he's making mistakes now, and it's all over the place. I don't see any of the teams that we got to play. I know four of them are below us in the league, and three of them are in the bottom four at the moment, but they've got nothing to fear.
The reaction at the full-time whistle is pretty much what you expect. I mean, that you're not fit to wear the shirt song, we've heard it so many times over the last few years, so it's almost lost its oomph now, hasn't it? It's almost sort of paling into insignificance because we've heard it so many times. But, I mean, I saw someone on one of the forums who'd long left, and they said they're already up at Charlton Village, up the top, and they could hear it. So considering there's so few people actually in the ground by the time that full-time whistle went, it was sung with real ferocity, wasn't it?
Yeah, because it was bad. You know, it wasn't like we got, you know, we put a shift in and we were unlucky to lose the game. It was bad from the first to the 90th minute. And I don't boo personally, but you know, everyone's entitled to do what they got to do. And
I might have had a little go myself for the first time, just a little one.
Everyone's right to do that. So, but yeah, it was, and like you said, it probably has lost its touch a little bit, especially over the last couple of years. So it was you're not fit, but you can understand it. To be fair,
there's no excuse for not working hard, and on Tuesday it just looked like they weren't working hard. It wasn't like they were unlucky or that they were trying things and they just couldn't find a way through. It was like they just weren't working hard enough, and there's no excuse for that. If you're a professional sportsman, literally your only job is to do your sport, and if you're just jogging around and you're not working hard, then that's the basis. And I know it's a bit of a cliche for fans to say all they want is to see players that care, I understand that, but You've got to run. You've got to work hard. And if you look at... I obviously don't have them, but if you look at the stats from that night, I can't imagine they're anywhere near what they were at the Sheffield United game, for example. Mm. And that's not good enough, because they should be. There's no excuse for not running.
Yeah.
Especially when we saw for the last 20 minutes that they all had it in them to run hard if they wanted to.
So even like positional play, when your team have the ball, like you said earlier, even a little shuffle to the left would do.
Yeah.
But they just hired. They just hired behind other players. And it's not going to work, but...
Right, let's listen. Let's hear from Carl Robinson. He came in. He came in to speak. to Terry after the game on Tuesday night. So, exclusive interview with Carl Robinson.
Joined by Carl Robinson in the studio after a 2-0 defeat by NK Dons. And Carl, after a lot of positives around the club and before the game, very few positives on it. Once the game got going.
None. At no stage, and I'm going to come out and be able to defend. Then Jadon Silva, Souls, Piercy, and Vicky Holmes to an extent put a shift in, but don't think many of the players can really look at themselves tonight in the mirror and say they perform well. We looked disjointed, we looked disorganised, we looked. It's amazing when you go through so many tactical elements and you coach and they know the roles, it's very clear, it's very precise. But then ultimately as well, it's being offside from a free kick. Is that a tactic? That's just ridiculous. I've never seen that. Somebody offside from a dead ball situation. It's not acceptable. At no stage am I going to be able to defend that.
After Saturday, where we said that, and you said that the last 20 minutes weren't acceptable, we seemed to carry that through. Was that first goal the key to that?
100%. That's their first shot on target. It makes a great save, and it rebounds just somebody to tap in. But I'm not going to sit here and say that it was a deflection or it was this or it was that. The whole performance wasn't good enough from start to finish tonight. Like, we huffed and puffed late on, but we only started playing when they were 2-0 down.
Are the players showing the fragility of the position we're in?
I think
teetering on the edge of the relegation scrap.
I think it's a difficult place for everybody to be, but we have to be big enough and brave enough to accept that. We've got to make sure that we come through the next few games and really get the points on the board quickly, sooner rather than later. I know the teams around us didn't win this as well this evening. I think they both played at home, which is obviously that's another game gone for them. So you are looking over your shoulder, obviously. It's not a great place to be, but you have to find that mental strength and that quality to override that. I'm not seeing it enough. I've said things in there that I think should stay in the dressing room. But the biggest message is it's just not good enough.
Is this the toughest moment of your football managing career?
100%, yeah. I think the relegation last year, everyone knew we were going to get relegated. That was just, we were the lowest sort of budget team in the league. It's the lowest point because I feel I'm a very proud man and I know from a coach what I want to do. And I have to be honest, it's a difficult moment in my career, 100%. But they make you. You can't crumble. That's not in my makeup. It's not who I am. I'll stand there, and I'll be as strong as I've ever been before. I have to. I know the rewards here are great. So when the dark days are sort of overshadowing them at the moment, if you can override them and you can turn, we were turning around and we had the injuries and everything else, and then but we've not got going. 1 win of 14. That's despicable.
We've seen. Sparks, periods where we have.
Listen, I think it's hard. I know the type of person you are, very passionate, and you're trying to find positives. I don't think there's been many. I think it's been very few and far between. I can't pull the wool over your eyes or anybody else's eyes or my players' eyes. It's about the honesty now, about the discipline and where we go from here. I think the players know that. They've been told in no uncertain terms.
So do you have... I wouldn't say a plan, but it's probably the wrong word. But you've got to drag these guys by the bottom places to try and get two wins at least out of the next
five.
However many we got left.
Yeah, so it's important that they go away and they define some sort of heart and bravery. That's what it takes at these moments to play. You've got to be brave, and I think they're gonna have to go through the mire and roll the sleeves up and put a shift in.
Well, I guess if they needed any indication of bravery, one of the reasons we were here tonight was celebrating somebody who did exactly that. So hopefully they can find inspiration somewhere from there.
Yeah, I think the fans at the beginning were sensational. Just shows you the type of football club it is. We're the ones at the moment letting it down.
Appreciate you coming in.
Cheers, pal. Thank you.
Cheers.
actually manages to turn. It falls to Tony White.
Come on!
Strikes it into the far post.
Charlton Live.
Hello?
From the home of time. Home of time. This is Maritime Radio, Greenwich.
Ah! Help!
Charlton Live.
So we heard from Carl Robinson exclusively here on Charlton Live after the defeat against Milton Keynes. I mean, what were you making of his reaction to games at the moment? I sort of mentioned on the Sunday show that he's sort of getting a bit tongue-tied now about with excuses, because there are no excuses to be had, and yet he obviously has to come out and speak to us. He has to come speak to us contractually, to not the one with Terry, but to the media overall. The one with Terry is just a favour, which is very kind of him. He's in this difficult situation now where, you know, the only talking that needs to happen in football is on the pitch. And when you're not doing it on the pitch, then you're going to be picked apart for what you say off it.
Absolutely, yeah. And as you say, I have some sympathy with him in that he has to come out and talk after every game, but I don't think he helps himself in what he says. He's seems to contradict himself week by week, and sometimes within the same press conference. I think he was very honest on Tuesday and said we're not good enough and the players need to take a look at themselves. But then he'll come out, if we win on Saturday, which obviously we're not going to because we're us, but if we did, he'll come out and praise them and say how brilliant they are. And I think he's just so up and down. He's almost speaking like a fan. You know, he's so reactive to what he sees and so full of emotion. And he's got to be careful because, as you say, people pick that apart very quickly, and obviously as journalists who want to be able to interview him, when you've got someone like that, that's obviously a lot better because you get good material out of it. But on the other hand, when you've got a manager who keeps his cards close to his chest and doesn't say too much, it probably protects him a little bit, particularly when things are going badly. If they just come out and admit that and take responsibility for it and move on, then so be it. Whereas Carl's, as you say, looking for excuses and as I say, contradicting himself, it's easy for people to pick it apart. And I think he's under a lot of pressure right now, and we just need... I think if we get to the end of the season, we're still in League One, which probably we're going to be. I expect...
It's bold, but I mean, I'm erring on the side of we will be based on what happens over this weekend. If we lose, which is a high possibility, I'm not basing it on what we do, I'm basing it on what the teams below us do. As long as... If there's still a four-point gap after this weekend, I think games will run out.
I don't think it's guaranteed yet. Yeah. But as we said on Sunday, if we go down, obviously, I think he'll be gone because there's no reason to keep him. If we do stay up and he's able to get his players in, as we say, next season's a different thing. But at the moment, he's treading a very fine line, especially when results are as they are.
Yeah, and it goes, we need to caveat it every time with if he gets his players in. And that obviously is based on, for me, is based on if there's a change in ownership of the club.
100%.
Yeah. Nathan, are you sensing the majority of fans seem to be very frustrated with Robinson at the moment? I was trying to gauge, like, in terms of fans, how many would keep him on next season, even if we were to stay up.
Yeah, I think it's a difficult one because I think from the get go there were some fans that didn't like him full stop, which, you know, that's their prerogative. I was in the Robbo camp. You know, I liked the appointment. I thought it was good. At first, I was a bit dubious. I think he will be good, but I mean, our form at the moment is awful, and it's... I always think, you know, mate, I'll give him a transfer win, I'll give him a summer, you know, let him do what he's got to do. And, you know, I want some sort of stability here. But at the same time, we're so pants at the moment.
Yeah.
It's hard not to just get frustrated. But, yeah, I mean, I can see people getting frustrated, but I would still say, in my opinion, the majority of would not sack him.
I think more people are leaning towards get rid of him now.
I think the split's growing every week and I think, like, I'm really loyal to our managers. Like, I don't like us sacking managers at all, and I do like Carl Robinson and think he's got a good future here, but even I'm struggling to defend him at the moment because you look at the record and it's just
because part of what I mean, obviously, you know, we've got the hasn't had a proper summer transfer window thing. That's one of the things that you need. But another thing you need as a manager is the ability to turn around a slump. And that's something we've always laughed about Pardew not having. Like, as soon as you get into a slump, then you're done.
He's gone.
He keeps going. And now Carl hasn't turned around this slump at all. And I'm not sure what his record was like at MK when they got into a slump. But, I mean, he got relegated last season as well. And that's what he's going to have to learn to do very quickly.
Yeah. And I think as I say, and I don't, I'm not saying 100% we're safe, but if we can just scrap through to the end of this season, that gives him the summer to rebuild. If we lose the next couple of games and people start winning, then he's going to have to do something within the last couple of games to sort that out, because if he doesn't, we're gone.
Let's have a look at the tweets. We just have one in from Jimmy C. It says, I'm in a Spanish bar watching the best goals ever from Barcelona and Real Madrid on TV. It's all a bit depressing. That sounds pretty good, to be honest.
Better than being here.
Yeah. Matt Brown says, we weren't good enough, showed no desire or passion. We need to improve, and quickly, if we want to be playing in League One next season. And Andrew Buckland says, time to let Jackson pick the other 9 players to go to battle with. That's the only way things will change. I assume he meant 10. Otherwise, we're giving ourselves a bit of a.
Well, we did beat Bolton with 10 men.
Yeah, that's true. Yeah, I think you might be on something there, Andrew. Right, let's have a look at the emails. This is from Matthew Gainsford. Says, hi all. In the 10 games or so I've been to this season.
Ready to pop the question? The jewelers at BlueNile.com have got sparkle down to a science with beautiful lab-grown diamonds worthy of your most brilliant moments. Their lab-grown diamonds are independently graded and guaranteed identical to natural diamonds, and they're ready to ship to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
I don't think I've seen us do one good throw-in. We either throw it really short and then lose it, throw it to a centre-half so they can pass it along the back line for 5 minutes, or throw it long in the hope the striker we predictably stationed on the touchline will produce the flick-on of the century. Excuse me. By contrast, other teams at worst keep the ball and at best use their throw-ins to launch an attack. I get this is far from our biggest problem, but surely it's something we could fix fairly quickly if the players actually moved into space. Given we clearly find it hard to create chances from open play, throw-ins could be the ugly goals that we need to need before we hopefully rebuild our club in the summer. Would be interested to know if anyone else has picked up on this. Have you guys?
But the only way you're going to get around it is for your players to be confident and receiving the ball. I don't know. I've seen it. He's frustrated, but like he did say, you know, it's not high on the priority list. But yeah, I have noticed it. But it's just simply due to confidence. That's the only thing I can think of.
He also said we've got to improve it by getting our players in space, and our players just don't get into space ever. So it's never going to happen, is it?
No. We score enough goals, don't we?
Yeah. Matt signed off saying, asking if everyone else or if I'm just losing my mind trying to think of ways we can get out of this mess, which is probably fair. Right, let's have a quick email from Matt Vine as well. You have to excuse my cough this evening, by the way. I'm coming out the other end of a cold, so...
Ah, lovely.
Right, this is from Matty Vine. It says, hi guys, hope you're well. From what I've seen and heard this season, especially since Robinson has come in, this is what I've seen. How many games have we had loads of chances to kill games off? Always ruining missed chances. A lot of teams get one chance and put it away. We need to be more clinical. Majority of games, we create excellent opportunities to go ahead, put teams out of sight. Games such as Bradford home and away, Shrewsbury away, Sheffield United away, Oldham away, Fleetwood at home, Southend away, Wimbledon away, even Millwall at home. Imagine having those points. Can't really blame the manager for these. He's only got a handful of players that he his own. One who's out for the season, Lewis Page. Think he needs a summer to get in what he needs. He knows how to get out of the division. We now know that the manager isn't the problem. It's what's happening higher up. One criticism of Robbo is keeping Rudd in. Think Phillips has been treated unfairly, didn't deserve to lose his place. Let's hope the players show some belief and are clinical in front of goal in the remaining 5 games. That's from Matty Vine. Good to hear from you, Matt. What would you make? I mean, the lack of being clinical all season has been our problem, and it feels like we have to say it every week, but it's a problem that keeps reoccurring every week. And I asked Carl after the game how he's going to change it, and I think he said in the build-up to the Peterborough game they tried something different, but it's not working.
Yeah, obviously it's not, and it's something. I don't really know what else you can. I don't know, you could probably they probably practice finishing. You know, I know it doesn't look like they do. I'm sure they do. But it's down to the guys to have a bit more composure in better positions. And I don't really know what the answer can be. And I don't, like, I think we spoke about it earlier in the year in terms of if we're mentally weak or mentally fragile. Maybe that's the case, but for the squad that we have on paper, I mean, Holmes got X amount of goals last year. Novak got blooming what, more than 15? He got 20 or something, didn't he?
Novak got 13, 14, 13 last
something
season,
like that. Who else have you got? Novak, Holmes, Jose.
Jose got loads. He hasn't done it.
But yeah, he's banging in for a side that's obviously creeping up on us, which is fantastic. But yeah, I really don't know. I really don't know how to rectify it apart from just tell them to just
give up,
compose you a little bit, yeah. Or give up, yeah. Either or.
I had a message earlier from Dan Farmer who sent me the current form table over the last 10 games, and we're rock bottom of it with 5 points.
Doesn't surprise.
You've got Chesterfield, who've got 7 points. Then you've got, now this is important, I mean, Chesterfield have gone. You've got Shrewsbury, who've got 8 points. Gillingham, we've also got 8. So they're two teams down near us that are lower in the form table. You've got Port Vale, who've got 12 points out of those games. Swindon, who've got 13. You know, teams are around us. Bury have got 16 in that time. Mm. And now, Tony, you've been looking at the fixtures for the rest of the season. But, you know, the form table in particular is what worries me.
Yeah, I think when you look at the fixtures that teams have come up, I won't go into all of them, but... Like, Bury are playing 2nd, 4th, 6th and 8th in the league over their 5 games. Oldham are playing 2nd, 3rd, 8th and 9th. Gillingham have got 3rd, 7th and 9th. Port Vale have got 1st and 2nd and 3rd, so the top 3. So you look at those 4 sides immediately below us, they've all got tough games, whereas we're playing 3 of the bottom 4 and Gillingham, who are 19th. So we're playing teams that, on our day, if we turned up, we should be beating. But the problem is that we're not. And as you say, those last few games, other teams are picking up points where we're not. And I'm trying to kind of work on a rough prediction of what points people might get based on that. And I think it is going to be tight. I still maintain we need that one win. I think if we do that, based on, as I say, my rough predictions, I think we would stay up. But it's where that win comes from. I don't think we're going to beat Southend. Swindon on the last day, I certainly wouldn't want to leave it till then. Coventry, obviously with the protest, you think maybe. Gillingham, a bit of a local derby at home. And then Chesterfield, it's got to be a win out of one of those 3 games for me to make sure we're here next year.
It's incredible for me how big Saturday is going to be mentally and how what the league table looks like after. Because now, I mean, if it stays... I mean, if we lose and everyone else loses, then it's still 4 points, but it goes to one game less, which is probably the equivalent of us almost getting another 3 points now,
yeah.
The way it goes. And that could be big psychologically, because if it's 4 points with 4 games left rather than 5, I wonder what an effect that has. If it's 1 point on Saturday, then all bets are off. We are officially... probably going down.
Yeah.
If it's 7 points on Saturday, then that's it, probably.
So obviously, it's very, very unlikely, kiss of death on it here, but if all of the 6 teams below us were to win, 4 of them would overtake us, and the other 2 would be 1 and 2 points behind us.
Because that's the other thing we'd lose, is our... I mean, we've got our points, which is 4 points, but it's the buffer of teams is probably the only thing at the moment. It makes you think... There's no way all of those teams are going to overtake us by the end of the season. Surely one of them won't. I think there's 2 relegation spaces up for grabs here. And I particularly don't want to get my grubby mitts on one of them.
No.
I mean, just looking at the fixtures as well, I mean, I can't see, you know, I can't, but then I thought we'd win on Tuesday. But, I just think that I think Port Vale will be gone. I don't know why. I just think they're gone. And who's bottom at the moment?
Coventry and Chesterfield are done.
Yeah,
they're
Coventry
done.
And Chesterfield. But I think Port Vale.
It's them two are in the bottom. And then the last 2 relegation places.
I think Bury will have enough. To be honest, and then I just think it's between the. I think it's just 3 of us then, isn't it?
But the thing is, you look at Swindon and Shrewsbury that are in those places at the moment. They need to catch up 4 and 5 points between them. So Swindon need at least a win and 2 draws to be level on points with us in 5 games. Now, I know it doesn't sound like a lot, but when you're down there, that's not as easy as it sounds. Mm. And same with Shrewsbury, need a win and a draw just to be level on points with us. And, you know, they're playing Rochdale and Southend. And Oxford, I know they're only in 10th, but they're in good form at the moment. Mm. So it is going to be tough for them to go overtake us. And that's why the odds, although we're still in the odds, are quite high, because it is unlikely. But the run of form we're on... It's not guaranteed at all.
I just can't believe it's got to this, that we're sat here now with a calculator looking at fixtures.
2 months ago we were talking about how many games we'd have to win to get in the playoffs.
Like,
and again, that was unlikely, but it wasn't that far away.
Hmm.
Oh dear! Right,
anyway, Dan, Matt, I think we'll beat win on Saturday.
Job done.
I think we win because then we'll help me and we'll get a playoff spot. There we go, sod's law.
Yeah. We would just do something to make it worse in a way. Right. Obviously, on Tuesday night as well, I think we, it gets lost in all the football. But I mean, the build up to the game and the first, with the players coming out with PC Palmer's brother, Christ. I mean, that was hard to watch, but it was an incredible gesture. And you know what? I mean, the bit that got to me was the fans rising to their feet when that line of PC Palmer's colleagues came out of the tunnel. Because I just wasn't expecting. I knew the police were going to come onto the pitch at one point, but I just wasn't expecting to see them all come out suddenly at that point.
Yeah,
and just the reaction they got from the crowd here at the Valley, which was definitely up. I mean, the official crowd was only up by 1,000, but in terms of people actually turning up, it was clearly a good 2,000 or 3,000 up, maybe 4,000.
Yeah,
and I mean, I thought the club handled the whole thing perfectly, and I thought the fans did as well.
I think, you're spot on there, and I almost don't want to talk about it in context to the game because the game was so terrible, but I thought the club handled it brilliantly. I thought everything that they arranged was excellent, and as I said on Sunday's show, I think it sounded very understated, and it was handled very delicately. As you say, when the police came out of the tunnel, I wasn't expecting that either, and it gave you real goosebumps to see them all come out and to see that reaction from the crowd, and then again, what was it, 3 minutes into the game when, again, everybody just got to their feet and just kind of did a spontaneous minutes applause again there. But it was really, really well handled. And as we said on Sunday and last Thursday, it's not really any consolation to the family who are obviously dealing with something so tragic. But as I said, it's our way of saying thank you to him and goodbye to him and the players donating that money financially longer term may well help the family as well, and I just thought the whole thing was really well done.
It was excellent and very, very poignant. Right, let's have a quick break and we'll come back and we'll look ahead to Saturday's update, Upbeats March.
So am I still waiting for this world to stop hating? Can't find a good reason, can't find hope to believe in.
Ray Hurd drive. Can he get across into the new? He can. This cuts into the far post. Yeah! Let's get the ball! With a goal! Yes! In the 96th minute!
Charlton Live.
Hello?
From the home of time. This is Maritime Radio, Greenwich.
You're listening to Charlton Live.
There he is, young Ashton, on Tuesday's game. Came into the studio and manfully tackled the Charlton Life Challenge, won on his own, but he did very well there. I hope you enjoyed your day, Ashton, apart from, obviously, the game, but, he got to be the mascot, which I'm sure is good fun. Right, Saturday, as you guys well know, and as anyone who listened to Sunday's show would know as well, it's the Upbeats March, and I think there's still time to sign up. We heard from Terry Pertz from the Trust on Sunday show, and he sort of said that he thinks he'll be able to sign up until Friday. So if you still want to sign up, head over to the Trust website and see if you can. Otherwise, you can head over to that website to raise some money for the Upbeats. But you two are both on it and are really looking forward to it.
I've actually been doing a lot more sort of walking and running and stuff like that because with my knee, with the ops I've had on it, I need to get the oils going on it. Otherwise, I'm gonna have a stiff leg.
Are you going to wear your suit on the march?
My birthday suit.
No,
I'll probably. I don't know. I was going to. I don't really know what to wear.
You get given a t-shirt when you get there.
I was going to wear a Charlton tracksuit. Then I look like Carl Robbo's lookalike. But then I thought, then I've got to get on the train afterwards, and he's got the grog geezer. 30 years old in a tracksuit looks a bit weird, doesn't it?
I mean, you've done it before, so.
That was here, though. But, I am actually looking forward to it. It'll be good. Hopefully, my knee holds up. Tom and his missus are going to help me up anyway if I struggle. Mm. And I'm sure Uncle Terry will as well. But, I'm looking forward to it, actually. It should be a good laugh. I'm really looking forward to it.
Yeah, and Tom, the pair of you really going to get to meet some legends on that. Well, coming up, there's Killer and Flash from slightly before your time. But the likes of Paul Mortimer, Carl Lieber, and those sort of people. It's going to be great to meet those guys, isn't it?
Still just about before my time. But, obviously.
Carl Lieber was before your time.
Yeah.
You're not allowed in this show anymore.
God. See you later, everyone. Yeah, I think it will be great. And to, as you say, to meet them and speak to them will be great. Obviously, It sounds like, from what Terry was saying on Sunday, I'm just going to be carrying various Charlton Live members down most of the journey. But
in the wheelbarrow.
Yeah, I'll do my bit. And it's obviously, the main thing is it's all for a good cause. And, you know, we've heard people from the Trust in recent weeks come on and talk about it. But in the past, we've just raised so much money from this event. And I just urge people, if they can't make the walk, to go on and donate again, because it is a great cause. And the Upbeats need the money, because that's how they keep going, really.
Yeah, they're self-funding, really, aren't they?
Yeah, and then, yeah, at the end, obviously look forward to seeing them play the game as well, which will be good fun. So, yeah, I'm looking forward to it.
Yeah, taking on Brighton and Hove Albion here at the Valley. Now, I watched them play against Derby. I'll get here quite early, so I watched them play against Derby last year, and they absolutely destroyed them. I mean, it was embarrassing, really. It was men against boys. And I'm hoping to see more of the same. But obviously... Do you think walking 9 miles before a game might tie you out a bit? I mean, it didn't seem to affect him last year.
It's one way of warming up, isn't it? But no, as you say, it doesn't seem to affect him. I haven't actually seen the YouTube video yet, but I think they did the crossbar challenge recently as well. I haven't had a look yet, but so they're having a bit of practice. So yeah, we'll see. They can't be worse than the first team at the minute, that's for sure.
Mm. Excellent stuff. So if you want to sign up to that march, make sure you do so. Now, one more thing quickly. Player of the Year. Obviously, we know that the Player of the Year dinner got the old elbow after the whole situation that we've been through already. But you can now vote for the Player of the Year. Earlier on in the season, I think there was probably two candidates. But I think the way McGuinness has fallen off now
just
leaves it with one. And obviously, that is... that is Nicky
Ajoke. Oh.
Yeah. that obviously is going to be Ricky Holmes, isn't it? It's obviously going to be Ricky Holmes.
Yeah,
for me anyway. Not that I want to influence anyone's vote. Yeah, it's a democracy.
I think a lot of people might go with JJ, which will be fine. But I think if you vote it on consistency, work rate, and quality, Ricky is by far. I reckon this is probably the most one-sided Player of the Year I've probably ever done, because before I'd have two or three, but that is the most obvious choice. But it wouldn't surprise me if JJ got it personally, which I wouldn't mind, but I think Ricky should get it just in terms of quality.
So if you want to know how to vote for that, I'm just going to tweet the link out now on the Charlton Live account, but otherwise there's a thread on Charlton Live, and I'm sure the Trust who are running the vote, was it the Trust, I think, or someone, whoever is running it,
we'll
sort that out as well. Right, probably, unless we haven't got anything else to tick off, before we look ahead to Saturday's game, have we? So let's dive into a bit of press day. Charlton Exile's favourite part of the show. Carl Robinson spoke to Tony Hudd from BBC Radio Kent. Now listen here. For the first time in 20 years, it's all gone wrong.
Talking to Charlton manager Carl Robinson, even ahead of...
I've been quite a lot worse recently.
Talking to Charlton manager Carl Robinson ahead of Saturday's home game against Southend. Carl, a manager once described this time of the year as the mining season, the time of year when the heat is turned up, the pressure is on, and a manager finds out what his players are really made of. Do you subscribe to that theory?
Well, you do, yeah. I always use it like an Easter to that. Easter's the how much bottle have you got weekend, really, and how you can, wherever you're chasing a promotion or a playoff place or a relegation scrap, it's a time of the year that defines you generally. We're going into it 5 games to go. We're under no illusion what we have to do. We're under no illusion it's not good enough, me included. It's a difficult time for everybody involved, but it is what it is. It's not, I think you know me, Tony, now that I'm the same whether I win or lose. I'm a professional, I have a job to do, I coach every single day, although if I'm watching the team play recently, I'd be asking what type of coaching I'm doing. But it's a case of getting it right and making sure that we focus our minds and getting ourselves prepared for a very difficult game, because this Southend team are a very good side. Phil's done a great job, very cohesive in the way they move, and very aggressive in the press. Very forward thinking in the forward play. They attack with numbers, with Wordsworth, Cox, Ranger, Fortuny, Dale Robinson, all players that we know who are good players and of a higher level in some ways. And back players who've been very strong, as Phil Brown's teams always are. So we know we're in for a very difficult afternoon, and there's no stone can be unturned.
Who lifts the manager after 3 straight defeats?
It has to be me, because I don't like listen, this is not, my family didn't choose me to do this, so I don't think it's right that I should burden them with it. Yeah, criticism from fans, which is, I don't think at any stage I've ever said that it's not fair. It's quite directive, and that it's difficult. If they only knew what was really, what I know what's wrong, I know what needs changing. But at this moment in time, it's about the here and now. That's the most important factor as a manager. But nobody, it has to be me. That's something they have to find from within. And for me, it's just about self-pride and what a strong-minded mentality that you have to have. If I can't motivate myself to be forced enough to sat here speaking to you, I'm in the wrong job first and foremost. If I can't take criticism from fans, I'm in the wrong job as well. Because part and parcel of modern-day football, it's become increasingly more so. I think you'll know more than me in your time. I think criticism is certainly more focused nowadays than what it ever has been before. Fans have a, with social media and with modern day media interaction, they feel more closely connected to football clubs, which gives them a right to be more, to have more controversial comments. But at the moment in time, the one that is, the one that is true is, we're not playing well enough and we've not won enough games, and that's a fact. So we have to get that right, and that's me that has to change that with the players.
Has the R word been mentioned in the team talks?
I think since the day I walked in, everyone spoke about it anyway, even though we were so many points on the top and we were always speaking about that. Obviously when players left, it was a difficult period, and they left, we seemed to come through it, and then we got loads of injuries, and then we dropped back into it. So and the way I'm looking at the moment, there's nine of us down there, so, and we're top of that nine at the moment, and everybody below us would swap places with us. And that's not being disrespectful to, there's an average spot place with anybody above me, obviously. So there's 8 teams below us who are more, a little bit more fearful than us right now. But our fear has to be like the team at the bottom. Our desire to win has got to be like the desire of the team at the top. This is the bit that you find out what your mentality is. This is the bit I find out who they are. I know, I think. Like I say, hopefully one day we can speak and we can, the transparency can be quite clear. Listen, it's hard because I have to be motivational as well. I think the players know that there's a regimented way of doing this. There's a focus that they have to bring. They're all contracted here next year. So they'll be part of a team in the lower leagues, in the lower league. And that's not creating on them either. So we have to make sure that's not the case.
I don't do mine. I let my missus does it. He obviously gets bullied and lets his missus, he does it.
Charlton Live.
Carl Robinson there looking ahead to Saturday's game with Southend. I found it interesting that he said that people have been talking about relegation ever since he's come into the building.
Yeah, that's positive, isn't it?
Yeah, that's
what you want to hear.
I mean, it's... A lot of what he has to say now is pretty similar to what he's been saying the last few weeks. Until, like I said earlier, until you get out of this run, then you're going to have to keep saying the same things. And like I say, you can only really do you're talking in one place, and that's in, once you get over that white line.
Well, that's what we got to do. And it's a bit annoying because I just want this season over already. Mm. It's the same as last season, and probably the last two. I have so much enthusiasm.
Yeah,
and then. Then it just sort of falls away, and then you're just like, oh, I can't be bothered anymore. You start afresh, it'll be better next year. And yeah. It's like Groundhog Day again, and I'm thinking the same again. But
it's what the players look like as well, yeah, to be fair.
But until, like you say, until we're over that white line and get those win or those 4 points, whether it is to stay up, it's going to be hanging over us. And I just think it's the realisation now, is that we could be playing Lincoln City in a league match next year. Do you know what I mean? If we stayed in League Two and North Ferriby next year had a little chance and a little surge and got promoted, we'd be playing North Ferriby.
Well, North Ferriby are going down in a conference.
I know, yeah, I know. But if they had a little late surge, and yeah. A little, you know what I mean?
Well, if we're doing that, why don't we have a little late surge get to Champions League?
No.
We're playing a Southend team who's in a decent little bit of form now, apart from, I mean, they had a a late, late defeat against Bolton, but the fact that it was 91st minute 1-0 home defeat against Bolton says they've just gone toe-to-toe with, you know, one of the best teams in their league. But before that, 3-0 over Oldham, 2-0 over Wimbledon, 3-2 over Walsall, 2-0 over Southend. I mean, they've over Coventry even. I mean, they're on a bit of form, you know, the complete opposite to what we're on.
Mm. You could look at it that way, or you could be positive and think a last-minute defeat is going to crush their confidence and they're coming in to a hotbed of football activity and they're going to get smashed 4-0.
I mean, they've just had an absolutely devastating last-minute 1-0 defeat. We've just had a run of the mill. Who cares?
Yeah.
We already knew we lost.
They're clinging on to that last playoff place.
We were saving ourselves. That's why we didn't put the effort in.
They've got big, scary Millwall breathing down their neck as well, and that's pressure, that is.
So when you look at it like that, it shouldn't be a problem, Saturday.
They've got big, scary Millwall. We've got Shrewsbury and Port Vale, Mugs.
Bury.
Bury, never heard of them.
Miles away.
Yeah. So we'll look at it like that. I mean, Southend have they got Phil Brown. They got a decent enough manager as well. And I think we were. I don't know if you guys went to the game on New Year's Eve at Roots Hall, where I think apart from the last 20 minutes, we were playing pretty poorly against Southend. And then of course Andrew Cross scored a late equaliser, didn't he?
I was waiting for it. I was going to do it.
Hang on. I've messed it up. I've messed it up big time.
Believe in that season. He does it.
There we go.
It
wasn't worth it.
Have just done the impression.
Yeah. Andrew Cross scored a late equaliser there. But, I mean, this is a team that, again, we've played against quite poorly already this season.
Yeah, we are going to struggle. Look, realistically, they are a good side. They're in good form, as you say, apart from that defeat against Bolton. And no, I wasn't at the game, but was following it. And as you say, we struggled against them. The one thing I can think is that we do play slightly better against the good teams, so maybe that will count. But the run of form we're on and the desperation, I just don't, at the moment, just don't see where that win's coming from, and I don't really see why Saturday will be any different. But come down here and hope it will be.
Mm. Well, how do you see the team going? I mean, we made, was it 4 or 5 changes before Saturday's game?
Yep.
We were missing Big Nose on the. On Tuesday, which meant I think we saw McGuinness starting. I mean, you assume that's going to go ahead again?
I think anyone could be replaced apart from Holmes, I think. I think there will be changes. I don't know if it'll be wholesale changes.
Do you think we're likely to see a change in the formation? Because, like I say, the Diamonds away from home has probably looked a bit more lively than it has done at home.
I'd like to see it again, but if Freddie plays, Freddie suits that diamond. Freddie's not one to play in a two in a four. That diamond suits Freddie so well, and I think Freddie will definitely start Saturday. Hence why I think he will probably start. I'd like to see Esri go back in that holding role where Jacko was. I'd like to see Esri back, because I think when Esri played there, even though it was with Joe Ariba, I think Esri's played all right in the middle. But I think Freddie will start. Keep that formation. I'd drop the front two. Mate, we ain't even got nowhere else to replace him, but sorry, put George up there. You know? No, but I'd give Carlin a go. I can't defend what on McGuinness and say, oh, you've done enough to start. I really don't.
Nah.
What worse is Carlin going to do?
He probably won't start
the same too, but I don't see what any worse it's going to do. I really don't. That's why I'm not a manager. But
yeah, Southend have got some dangerous players. I mean, they've got that Niall Ranger, obviously, he's on a bit of a run now, and for once it's not from the law.
Dangerous player.
Yeah. I mean, he kept getting offside in the game there. He can't stop breaking the law, can he? Southend, it's a team that, like I say, banging confidence, maybe slightly knocked by that late defeat, but they're going to come here thinking that we're going to fill our pockets here, aren't they?
Well, I hope so. Hopefully they come here and being really complacent, and then we can snatch a victory and help Millwall get in the playoffs. But is it Simon Cox? It's Simon Cox up top, isn't it?
Yeah.
Good player. You know, they have got, and they've a more or less settled side, I think. I could be wrong, but like you say, Lou, you know, Phil Brown knows, he's a good motivator, gets his teams playing well. But it's going to be a tough game, but I'm not really enthusiastic about it. I've never been all this season.
Got Frank Nubel on the bench as well. He'll almost certainly score.
Did he play for us against Dagenham?
He scored with his arse.
Yeah.
I remember that. Jeez. Times have changed. Yeah, bigger, I mean, better things.
Yeah. I mean, what do you think the atmosphere and the crowd are going to be like on Saturday? I mean, if we go 1-0 down, it's going to be unbelievable here. I think I might go on the pitch if we go 1-0 down. I mean, it's so vital for the team's sake that they get off to a good start on Saturday.
Yeah, they have to. This is another thing we've said all season, that with the quality that I think we do have within the side, if we start quickly and go a goal in front, we're fine. But we just don't do it, and when we don't, we concede early, and the heads go down, and that's game over straight away. Like the MK Dons game the other day, 10 minutes in, there was no way I ever thought we were going to get back in that game. Mm. Thought we might scrape a draw at best. So we have to start well, and that's the worry, is that opposition managers, like I say, that team talk, the last 5 minutes before they go out, is so easy. Mm. You just tell them to try and press us early and get an early goal. But yeah, we have to start quick, we have to start fast, we have to get an early goal and then see what happens.
In terms of trying something different, I noticed Carl's decided to get him training at the Valley today rather than to try him. Do you think that'll have a big effect?
I hope so.
Well, it's worth a try, isn't it? Yeah, they've got to try something.
Yeah, I just think, if you look at our team, right, we should be so much more aggressive, not in terms of like trying to hack people down, but in terms of the way that our players, especially our forward players, should have that swagger and that arrogance of going, we're at home here, we're going to dictate the play.
Yeah.
Olverstad, Holmes, Forster Caskey, McGuinness, you know, these are the players, Batarko, who can actually go, right, we're better than this League One, we're going to run the show. And they don't, they're not aggressive enough. So if that helps them put a shift in on Saturday and they're training here all day and all night, then I'm all for it. But I don't see how it changes that much, unless he
thinks it's some sort of mental block about playing at the Valley and he's just trying to get the players used to their surroundings. But I mean, we ain't being much better away from home. Like, next week, are we going to start training at Coventry's ground from Thursday? Anyway, right, let's very quickly have some predictions, Tom.
2-0 loss.
Nathan? 1-0 win.
1-0 win, yeah?
Just because of the Millwall connection, I thought we were going to lose otherwise.
Yeah, okay. I'm going for a 1-1 draw. There we go. Just guessed. Right, this has been Charlton Live, a big match preview. Thank you for Tom and Nathan for coming in.
Cheers, everyone.
I've been Louis Mendes. I hope you've enjoyed the show. And we'll be back on Sunday evening here on Maritime Radio to look back at whatever happens against Southend. Let's hope, for the love of God, that it's 3 points.
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house, with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. WarbyParker.com/covered.